All right. Good evening, church. Is the mic on? It's on. Our text for this evening is Revelation chapter 16, verses 1 to 21. Revelation chapter 16, verses 1 to 21. The whole of chapter 16. I read to you. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, "Go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth." So the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and a foul and loathsome sore came upon the men who had the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. Then the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became blood as of a dead man, and every living creature in the sea died. Then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters saying, "You are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and who is to be, because you have judged these things. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink, for it is their just due." And I heard another from the altar saying, "Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments." Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God, who has power over these plagues, and they did not repent and give him glory. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom, became full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. They blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and did not repent of their deeds. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up, so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons performing signs, which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And they gathered them together to the place called in Hebrew Armageddon. Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake. Such a mighty and great earthquake as had not occurred since men were on the earth. Now the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Then every island fled away, and the mountains were not found, and great hail from heaven fell upon men, each hailstone about the weight of a talent. Men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, since that plague was exceedingly great. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, once again we just want to thank you that we can access your very throne room and call you Abba. You are the Lord of the universe. You are God Almighty, El Shaddai. O Lord, yet you are our loving Heavenly Father, and you have proven your love to us in giving us your only begotten Son. We thank you, blessed Lord, for leaving glory for us, for coming into this world and taking upon yourself a human body, sinless, perfect body. And in your sinless body, you took our sin, you took our shame, you took our guilt, you took our pain, you took our sorrow, you took our sicknesses. And you were wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The punishment of our peace was laid upon you, and by the blows that cut into your body, Lord, we have been healed. We thank you for all that you did for us. For you died and rose again from the dead. And you included us in your death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and exaltation. And you raised us up. You seated us with you. You indeed being seated far above all rule, authority, power, dominion, above every name that is named in this age and the age to come. We thank you, Lord, for the finished work that you did for us on the cross. You sealed us by your Spirit unto the day of redemption. Drawn us out of the domain of darkness. You brought us into your marvelous light. You set us free from captivity, from slavery to sin and Satan. You released us. Brought us into the kingdom of your beloved Son. We thank you that you have accepted us in the beloved. And we thank you, Lord. Yes, we are strangers and foreigners in this world. We are pilgrims here, but we are accepted in the beloved. And we thank you, Lord. Thank you for putting your seal upon us. Thank you for sealing us by your Spirit unto the day of redemption. And you are the Lord of hosts, the captain of the heavenly armies. You are the Lion of Judah who fights our battles. King of kings and Lord of lords. Ahead of us and behind us. You surround us with the joy of your presence. Your glory is our rare God. So here we are. We offer our bodies to you this evening hour as a living sacrifice, as your temple, as your treasure, as tools in your hands and as weapons for your use. O come, Holy Spirit, open our eyes. Even as we look into the pages of your word, open our eyes that we may perceive wonderful truths out of your holy law. Write your word upon our minds and upon our hearts. Come, blessed Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. We look once again at the outline of Revelation as we do every time we begin our study. The key theme in the book of Revelation is Jesus Christ the Victor. The key verses are Revelation chapter 1 verse 19, Revelation chapter 17 verse 14. Revelation 1:19, I read to you, write the things which you have seen and the things which are and the things which will take place after this. What are the things which you have seen? We saw that in chapter 1 in the book of Revelation, John's vision of the exalted Christ. Those are the things which you have seen. Chapter 1 in Revelation. Chapters 2 and 3, the things which are. And this is the message to the seven churches in chapter 2 and chapter 3. Then the things which shall be hereafter, right from chapter 4 right up to chapter 22. Chapter 4 and chapter 5 speak about worship before the throne room in heaven. Chapter 4 is worship because God is our creator. Chapter 5, worship. The host in heaven worships him because he is our Redeemer. And then from chapter 6 right up to chapter 19, you have the tribulation on planet Earth. The first half of the tribulation is chapter 6 right up to chapter 9. The middle of the tribulation is chapter 10 to chapter 14. The last half of the tribulation is chapter 15 to chapter 19. And then we see the kingdom of Christ in chapter 20. And then the new heavens and the new earth, chapter 21 and 22. Now we've been saying that Revelation chapter 14 right up to chapter 16 speak voices of victory. And we saw the voice of the 144,000 in Revelation chapter 14 verses 1 to 5. Then we heard the voice of the angels in Revelation 14 verses 6 to 20. We then heard the voice of the victors in Revelation 15 verses 1 to 4. And then we began hearing the voice of fulfillment. The voice of fulfillment. Revelation chapter 15 verse 5 right up to chapter 16. The whole of the 16th chapter. So today we'll begin with the 16th chapter of Revelation, which we just read for our text this evening. Revelation 16 verses 1 and 2. We see grievous sores. Grievous source. Revelation 16, 1 and 2, I read again. Then I heard a voice, a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth. So the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth. And a foul and loathsome sore came upon the men who had the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. Now this vile judgment, or this bowl judgment, it's called vile judgment or bowl judgment, reminds us of the sixth plague that happened in Egypt when God judged Pharaoh and all of Egypt. Exodus chapter 9 verses 8 to 12. So the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take for yourselves handfuls, handfuls of ashes from a furnace and let Moses scatter it toward the heavens in the sight of Pharaoh. And it will become fine dust in all the land of Egypt, and it will cause boils that break out in sores on man and beast throughout all the land of Egypt. Then they took ashes from the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses scattered them toward heaven, and they caused boils that break out in sores on man and beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boils were on the magicians and on all the Egyptians. But the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord had spoken to Moses. So this wild, bold judgment in the sixth, it reminds us of the sixth plague that took place in Egypt. Revelation 16 verse 1 and 2 speaks about this judgment. Go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth. Now we need to take note also of Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 27 and also Deuteronomy 28 verse 35 about the dangers of disobedience. The dangers of disobedience. Now, not only does this judgment come upon Egypt, God warns Israel. God warns Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 27, the Lord will strike you with the boils of Egypt, with tumors, with the scab, and with the itch from which you cannot be healed. There are great dangers when we disobey what God reveals to us in His Word. And so as believers in Christ, let's not take these things lightly. If we truly believe, what's the sign of a true believer? A sign of a true believer is the fact he obeys the Lord. He obeys. That's the sign of a true believer. He obeys whatever the Lord tells him. And that is costly. It is costly. You see, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ is costly. To become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't do anything. Jesus did it all. He paid it all. The penalty was paid. The price was paid on the cross on Calvary. The wages of sin is death. Jesus took that death upon His sinless body. He paid that penalty to forgive us of our sins, to give us a free gift of eternal life. So we don't do anything to deserve or to work or merit eternal life. Eternal life is received as a gift. But if we truly believe in what Jesus has done, the result will be that we are obedient followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus says, now to be a follower, to be a disciple, you can't be a believer and not be a disciple. If you are a genuine believer, you will be a disciple. You will obey the Lord. And what is the sign that you are genuinely a believer? Obedience. That's the sign. It may even cost us our lives if we want to obey the Lord. That's why Jesus, I see, He didn't make anything, you know, He didn't call the Christian life a bed of roses. No. He said, if any man follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. So to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's costly. It's costly. It's costly. Now let me say this. It's costly to be a disciple of Christ. But it is costlier not to be a disciple of Christ. It's costly to be a disciple of Christ. It's costlier not to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. So disobedience has judgment. Alright? So He didn't spare Egypt and those who believe Israel, He tells them. Deuteronomy 28 verse 35, the Lord will strike you in the knees and on the legs with severe boils which cannot be healed, and from the sole of your foot to the top of your head. Now, what happens here in Revelation is only those who have submitted to the beast, and they are the ones who have rejected the warning of the first angel. Remember, the first angel, Revelation 14 verses 6 to 7. Those who rejected the warning of the first angel and they submit to the beast, they will experience this judgment. Which is of course yet in the future, because none of these judgments have begun. What we are seeing now is only the birth pangs. What we are seeing now is only the birth pangs. We see wars, rumors of wars, alright. We see earthquakes, and these are only the beginning. These are only the beginning of the birth pangs. In Revelation 14, verse 6 to 7, the warning of the first angel. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. For the hour of his judgment has come. In other words, he's telling people, repent and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water. But those who don't do that will experience this judgment. Revelation 16 verses 10 to 11 suggests these sores do not disappear. They don't disappear. For by the time of the fifth vial, by the time of the fifth bowl judgment, people are still in pain from this first judgment. Revelation 16 verses 10 to 11. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. They blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and did not repent of their deeds. Even that pain will not cause them to repent. That's how hard the heart of man is. In spite of warning, in spite of giving man a long rope, Revelation 9 verses 20 to 21. But the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. Now it's been said, if men are not won by grace, they will never be won. If men are not won by grace, they will never be won. It's an awesome thought just to consider almost the entire population of the world is going to suffer from a painful malady that nothing can cure. What do you call that thing which we took when we had the COVID? The vaccine. No vaccine for this. No vaccine, no cure. Constant pain affects a person's disposition. He finds it difficult to get along with other people also. Human relations during that time will be at their worst. At their worst. Then the next, we see waters turn to blood. Revelation 16 verses 3 to 6. Revelation 16 verses 3 to 6. Then the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became blood as of a dead man, and every living creature in the sea died. And the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the water saying, you are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and who is to be, because you have judged these things. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink, for it is their just due. Now the second and third bowl judgment or vial judgment parallels the first plague. The first plague in Egypt, Exodus chapter 7 verses 14 to 25. So the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hard. He refuses to let the people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning when he goes out to the water, and you shall stand by the river's bank to meet him. And the rod which was turned to a serpent you shall take in your hand. And you shall say to him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has sent me to you, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. But indeed, until now, you would not hear. Thus says the Lord, by this you shall know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will strike the waters which are in the river with the rod that is in my hand, and they shall be turned to blood, and the fish that are in the river shall die. The river shall stink, and the Egyptians will loathe to drink the water of the river. And the Lord spoke to Moses, say to Aaron, take your rod and stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, over their streams, over their rivers, over their ponds, and over their pools of water, that they may become blood. And there shall be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in buckets of wood and pitchers of stone. And Moses and Aaron did so, just as the Lord commanded. So he lifted up the rod and struck the waters that were in the river, in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants. And all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. The fish that were in the river died. The river stank and the Egyptians could not drink the water of the river. So there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. Then the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments. And Pharaoh's heart grew hard and he did not heed them as the Lord had said. And Pharaoh turned and went into his house. Neither was his heart moved by this. So all the Egyptians dug all around the river for water to drink because they could not drink the water of the river. And 7 days passed after the Lord had struck the river. So the second judgment, the bowl judgment, will center on the sea. And the third will turn the inland waters, that is the rivers and all the fountains, into blood. Remember, when the second trumpet judgment occurred, a third part of the sea became blood. But with this judgment, the entire system of seas and oceans will be polluted. All waters will be polluted. Third trumpet made a third part of the inland waters bitter as wormwood. But the third bowl judgment will turn all those bitter waters into blood. What has become wormwood will become blood. And I heard the angel of the water saying, "You are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and who is to be, because you have judged these things, for they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink, for it is their just due." Revelation 16 verses 5 to 6. You see, heaven actually is giving justification for this judgment. Heaven is giving justification because the earth dwellers or the unbelievers, wherever the Bible mentions, wherever in Revelation you find earth dwellers, it means the unbelievers on earth. They have shed the blood of God's people, and so it is only right that they should drink blood. In God's government, the punishment fits the crime. Pharaoh tried to drown the Jewish boy babies, but what happened? Ultimately, it was his own army that eventually drowned in the Red Sea. Haman planned to hang Mordecai on the gallows and to exterminate the Jews. But ultimately what happened? He himself was hanged on the same gallows. And his family also was exterminated. Esther chapter 7 verse 10. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai, and the king's wrath subsided. Esther chapter 9 verse 10. The 10 sons of Haman, the sons of Hamedatha, the enemy of the Jews, they killed, but they did not lay a hand on the plunder. So, in God's government, the punishment fits the crime. These earth dwellers, unbelievers, had killed God's servants, shed the blood of God's people, and therefore they will drink blood. They will drink blood. Remember King Saul, he refused to obey God. God had told him to slay the Amalekites. He refused to do so. What happened? He was slain by an Amalekite. He was killed by an Amalekite. 2 Samuel chapter 1 verses 1 to 13. Now it came to pass after the death of Saul, when David had returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, and David had stayed 2 days in Ziklag. On the third day, behold, it happened that a man came from Saul's camp with his clothes torn and dust on his head. So it was when he came to David that he fell to the ground and prostrated himself. And David said to him, "Where have you come from?" So he said to him, "I have escaped from the camp of Israel." Then David said to him, "How did the matter go? Please tell me." And he answered, "The people have fled from the battle. Many of the people are fallen and dead. And Saul and Jonathan his son are dead also." So David said to the young man who told him, "How do you know that Saul and Jonathan his son are dead?" And the young man who told him said, "As I happened by chance to be on Mount Gilboa, there was Saul leaning on his spear. And indeed the chariots and horsemen followed hard after him. Now when he looked behind him, he saw me and called to me, and I answered, 'Here I am.' And he said to me, 'Who are you?' So I answered him, 'I am an Amalekite.' He said to me again, 'Please stand over me and kill me, for anguish has come upon me, but my life still remains in me.' So I stood over him and killed him, because I was sure that he could not live after he had fallen. And I took the crown that was on his head and the bracelet that was on his arm, and I brought them here to my Lord." Therefore David took hold of his own clothes and tore them, and so did all the men who were with him. And they mourned and wept and fasted until evening for Saul and for Jonathan his son, for the people of the Lord and for the house of Israel, because they had fallen by the sword. And David said to the young man who told him, "Where are you from?" And he answered, "I am the son of an alien, an Amalekite." Saul refused to slay the Amalekites, and he was slain by an Amalekite. The next thing that we see in Revelation chapter 16, verses 8 to 9, is the great heat, the judgment, the great heat from the sun. Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God, who has power over these plagues, and they did not repent and give him glory. All earthly life depends on the light of the sun. We take that for granted, don't we? Just imagine the sun doesn't shine in the morning. Now, in previous judgments, a part of the sun had been dimmed. Revelation 8, verse 12. And the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. But now what is happening? The heat of the sun is increased. Anyone who has been in the desert knows how merciless this can be, the sun's heat. Remembering too that the water system is now useless. It will all turn to blood. You can imagine how people will suffer from thirst. But even this judgment will not bring men to their knees. In Malachi chapter 4 verse 1 we read, "For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble, and the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch." Man's hard heart, deceitful, desperately wicked. One of the things that the unbeliever finds extremely difficult to do is to repent. To repent. Then we see darkness. Revelation chapter 16 verses 10 to 11. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. They blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their souls, and did not repent of their deeds. Now this is not worldwide darkness. Only the beast, his throne and his kingdom are affected. And this reminds us of the fifth trumpet, Revelation chapter 9 verse 2, and also the ninth plague, Revelation 9 verse 2. "And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit." And then you see the ninth plague in Exodus chapter 10, verses 21 to 23. "Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, darkness which may even be felt. So Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings." Revelation 16 verse 10. "Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues because of the pain." So now the question is, where is the throne of the beast? Where is this throne of the beast? Now remember, his image, the image of the beast is in the temple in Jerusalem. So that may be the center of his operation. Or perhaps he is ruling from Rome in cooperation with the apostate church headquartered there in Rome. Now when God sent the ninth plague to Egypt, the entire land was dark except for the place where the Israelites, Goshen. In the land of Goshen, there was light. Just imagine that. Entire land dark, but land of Goshen is there's light. He is in charge of the universe. Now the judgment of the fifth vial is just the opposite. There is light for the world, but darkness reigns at the headquarters of the beast. That's going to be a great blow to his image throughout the earth. Then what happens? The Euphrates dries up. Revelation chapter 16 verses 12 to 16. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up, so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And they gathered them together to the place called in Hebrew Armageddon. Now this famous river Euphrates, it was mentioned earlier in Revelation, and the sixth trumpet sounded. Revelation chapter 9 verses 13 to 14. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. Now when the sixth trumpet was sounded, the angels were loosed who were bound therein. At that time, what happened? An army of demonic horsemen was also released at the same time. We actually studied this passage in detail. Now an army from the nations of the world, they come together. They come for the great battle at Armageddon. Now the drying up of the river Euphrates, that will make it possible for the army of the kings of the east to come to Palestine and invade the Holy Land. Now we often speak of the battle of Armageddon. We speak of the battle of Armageddon, but nowhere does the Bible use that phrase. The Bible does not use the phrase the battle of Armageddon. On September the 2nd, 1945, General Douglas MacArthur, he supervised signing the peace treaty with Japan, and he said, "We've had our last chance. If we will not devise something greater and more equitable than war, Armageddon will be at our door." The name Armageddon comes from two Hebrew words, Har Megiddo. Har Megiddo, the hill of Megiddo. Now the word Megiddo, it means place of troops or place of slaughter. It is also called the plain of Esdraelon. Esdraelon, the plain of Esdraelon is also called the valley of Jezreel. Now the area is about 14 miles wide and 20 miles long. It forms what Napoleon called it the most natural battlefield of the whole earth. Standing on Mount Carmel and overlooking that great plain, you can understand why it would be used for gathering the armies of the nations. Because it was in this plain that Barak defeated the armies of Canaan. Judges chapter 5 verse 19. The kings came and fought. Then the kings of Canaan fought in Tanakh by the waters of Megiddo. They took no spoils of silver. Gideon met the Midianites here in this valley. Judges chapter 7. It was here that King Saul lost his life. 1 Samuel chapter 31. And more details are given in 2 Samuel chapter 1, which we just read. Titus, the Roman general Titus and his army used this natural corridor when they invaded Jerusalem in AD 70. Titus invaded and the Jews were scattered across the globe. Till 1948, they had no nation of their own. All across the globe, they were scattered, including India, including Mattanchery. All across the globe. It was only 1948 that they got back their nation. So this was the place Titus came through to enter Jerusalem. The Crusaders, they entered in the Middle Ages, they used this valley. The British general Allenby used it when he defeated the Turkish armies. 1917. So from a human point, from a human viewpoint, it appears that the armies of the nations, they are gathering on their own. But John makes it clear, this military movement is according to God's plan. Nothing is outside God's sovereign will. And the satanic trinity, through demonic powers, what will they do? They will influence the nations and they will cause the rulers to assemble their armies. And they will even work miracles that will impress the rulers and cause them to cooperate. And the rulers will come with their armies to battle. But all this will merely fulfill the will of God. It will accomplish God's purposes. Revelation 17 verse 17, for God has put it into their hearts to fulfill His purpose, to be of one mind and to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. The Gentile nations will look on Armageddon as a battle. But to God, it will be only a supper. A supper for the fowls of the air. Revelation 19 verses 17 to 21. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the beast, the king of the earth, the kings of the earth, I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him. Who is him? Who sat on the horse and against his army. It's the Lord Jesus himself. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse. And all the birds were filled with their flesh. In Zechariah chapter 12, you must read. Zechariah chapter 14 also you must read. That describes this event of Armageddon from Israel's point of view. Now since the beast has set up his image in the temple at Jerusalem, and because many of the Jews will not bow down to him, many of the Jews will not bow down to the beast, it's natural that the holy city will be the object of the attack. Even now, that's the object of attack. All preparing for the final Armageddon. They want to get the city. However, not only the Jews are involved, for God has a purpose for the Gentile nations also. Joel chapter 3, verses 9 to 21. Parallels the references in Zechariah chapter 12, Zechariah chapter 14. And Joel 3:19 makes it very clear, God will punish the Gentiles for the way that they have treated the Jews. Joel chapter 3 verse 19, Egypt shall be a desolation, and Edom a desolate wilderness, because of violence against the people of Judah, for they have shed innocent blood in their land. Isaiah chapter 24 verses 21 to 23. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will punish on high the host of exalted ones, and on the earth the kings of the earth. They will be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and will be shut up in the prison. After many days they will be punished. And the moon will be disgraced and the sun ashamed, for the Lord of hosts will reign on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, and before his elders gloriously. Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 8. Therefore wait for me, says the Lord, until the day I rise up for plunder. My determination is to gather the nations to my assembly of the kingdoms. You see that? My determination is to gather the nations to my assembly of kingdoms. This is God who is speaking. He is sovereign. He is in control. To pour on them my indignation, all my fierce anger, all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. What is the outcome of this battle? The outcome is recorded. We will study in detail in Revelation 19. The outcome is recorded. The Lord Jesus returns and he defeats his enemies. And obviously the assembling and marching of the armies create no problem for Almighty God. Remember, he is El Shaddai. When the nations rage and defy him, what does the book say? Psalm 2 verses 4 to 5. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Finally, We see in Revelation 16 verses 17 to 21, it is done. It is done. Revelation 16, 17 to 21. Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." When he died on the cross, what was the cry? "It is finished." All that needed to be done with regard to redemption was accomplished when he shed his blood on the cross. Now, all that needs to be done with regard to judgment of this earth is accomplished. It is done. It is done. "And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake as had not occurred since men were on the earth. Now the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Then every island fled away, and the mountains were not found, and great hail from heaven fell upon men, each hailstone about the weight of a talent. Men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, since that plague was exceedingly great." Now remember, the devil is the prince of the power of the air. So perhaps the seventh vial judgment, the seventh bowl judgment, has a special effect on Satan's dominion. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 1 to 2 tell us that he is the prince of the power of the earth, and you have made, and you he made alive. That means you and me who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, he made alive, who the Lord Jesus made us alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. Now we were under the control of the evil one, whether you like it or not. I asked those little ones, you know, for the VBS. I asked them it was very interesting, their answer to the question. I told them how they become children of God. I said, to as many who received him, John chapter 1 verse 12 says, to as many who received him, gave he the authority, exousia is the word there in Greek, which means he gives you the authority to be a child of God. The moment you receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of your life, you ask him to come into your life and reign over your life. At that very moment, God gives you the authority to be a child of his. So I asked them the question, have you received the Lord Jesus Christ into your life? Some of them said yes, some of them said no. Now if you don't receive the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, according to John chapter 1 verse 12, who are you? You're a child of God. Now if you don't receive the Lord Jesus Christ into your life, according to John chapter 1 verse 12, who are you? They said, children of Satan. They said, little ones said, children of Satan. And I asked them, what do the children of Satan do? My goodness, you should have seen the answers. Four groups, and for about 15 to 20 minutes, tuck, 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 they're saying, what all the children of Satan do? One fellow said, serial killer. Little fellow, tiny fellow, he said, serial killer. Just imagine, maybe watching television, I don't know. Tiny fellow, serial killer. One said, perverted mind. Perverted mind. Murder. So many things they said, little children, they said. Little children. So what is Paul saying here? He said, listen, before you became children of God, you were under the power of the prince of the power of the earth. You were under his control. He's making it very clear. This is where you were. Recognize it. Whether you like it or not, that's where you were. I know very well that's where I was. No doubt about it. Absolutely no doubt about it. I know what it means to be held by Satan. What it means to be gripped by him. What it means to be under his control. And when the Lord released me, I know. I know. "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." Spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. So the devil is the prince of the power of the air, and the seventh vial judgment is going to affect his dominion. But the immediate result is a devastating earthquake that affects the cities of the nations. Satan's entire system is now about to be judged by God. His religious system is going to be judged. The harlot, remember, Revelation chapter 17. We are yet to study, but we mentioned this earlier. That's Satan's religious system. Then his political economic system, Babylon. That's what God calls it. Revelation chapter 18, that's going to be destroyed. His military system, that's going to be destroyed. The armies of the world, Revelation chapter 19, that's going to be destroyed. So the domain of Satan, the dominion of Satan is going to be destroyed. All of this is about to be judged by God. Satan's religious system, Satan's political economical system, and his military system, all of this is going to be judged by God. The children today I had the privilege of bringing three of them today from Ernakulam. They're talking about some company, I don't know, I'm not going to give the details, which will take control of the world, they said. They already know. You see, today you and I are recognized by what? Not by our names, we are recognized by our number. Very soon, everyone is going to have. The system is coming under control. It's all getting prepared. One final day it will be no names, only numbers. And the button is pressed, yes, control. Your bank account is seized, finished. You can't. If you don't have the mark of the beast, alright, how will he take control of you? He'll take control of your bank account. He'll seize your bank account, finished. How many crores you have in how much mutual fund, doesn't matter. It's all gone, finished. He'll take control. Yeah, that's going to be the future. That's going to be the future. And ultimately he's going to be judged. The harlot will be judged. Babylon is going to be judged. The armies of the nations of the world will be judged. All of this will be judged by God. The great city, Revelation 16:19, is probably Jerusalem. Probably Jerusalem. Revelation 16:19. Now the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fear and the fierceness of his wrath. Revelation 11:9, and their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. So most likely the great city is Jerusalem. Now the prophet Zechariah, he prophesied an earthquake that would change the entire topography of Jerusalem. Zechariah chapter 14 verse 4. And in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from west to east, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north and half of it toward the south. It was very interesting this morning. We had a Jew who was in church this morning. The foreigner who came this morning was a Jew. I shared the gospel with him many years ago, about 20 years ago, in my office room. I picked up the Hebrew Bible which I had. I asked him to read from Isaiah chapter 53. And he read in Hebrew, Isaiah chapter 53, and I asked him, in verse 5, speaks about he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The punishment of our peace was laid on him. By his stripes we are healed. And I asked him, then, who is this? Who is this? You know what he told me? He said, sounds like Jesus. He said, sounds like Jesus. But till today, he has not accepted Christ. Till today, he has not accepted Christ. I told him this morning, there are many Messianic Jews in Jerusalem, in Israel. He said, yeah, plenty. Plenty. As the scripture was being read this morning, he was following Deuteronomy from his Hebrew Bible, and on the right side, from his phone, on the left side was the Hebrew, right side was English. So I asked him, you're following? He said, I was following, so that I there was no mistake. I was trying to find out if there's any mistake. You see, they know all of this in their heads. Now the key idea here is that Babylon will fall. We see this in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 50, chapter 51, Babylon will fall. Babylon will fall. And Babylon is the political economic system of the world that comes under the control of the Antichrist. It will fall. It will fall. The great economic system which actually controlled the people, you know, the economy controls people. That will be completely destroyed by God. Because God works in a different economy altogether. Those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ don't trust their bank balance. They trust the Lord Jesus to provide. Well, bank balance He'll take care of. You serve Him, He'll take care of you. And I know that to be true in my life. I can testify the fact that you serve the Lord Jesus Christ, He's no man's debtor. He's cattle on a thousand hills are His. He'll provide for His children. You do His work sincerely, you obey Him, find out what God wants you to do in your life. You're calling to this morning, I was telling one young girl, I was saying, you're young, find out what God's will is for your life. She's about to make decisions as to regard to her future higher studies. I said, have you found out what God wants out of your life? She said, not yet. I said, find out. God does not reveal His will to the curious. He reveals His will only to the serious. So you're serious about finding out what God's will for you is, He'll reveal it to you. Once you know what God's will is for your life, what must you do? Obey wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly do it. He'll take care of you. You serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You'll never be in want. You'll never be in want. Now added to this earthquake, there will be a hailstorm. And hailstorms of tremendous weight. Revelation 16 verse 21. And great hail from heaven fell upon men, each hailstone about the weight of a talent. Now a talent of silver weighs about 125 pounds. So you can imagine the weight of the hailstone. This reminds us of the seventh plague in Egypt. Exodus 9 verses 22 to 26. And the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, on man, on beast, and on every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched out his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail and fire darted to the ground. And the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt, so there was hail and fire mingled with hail, with the hail so very heavy that there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail struck throughout the whole land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. And all the hail struck every herb of the field and broke every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there was no hail. Hallelujah. God takes care of His children. Now just as Pharaoh and the Egyptian leaders did not repent, so the earth dwellers will not repent. In fact, what will they do? They will blaspheme God. And no wonder the hail comes. Because according to the scripture, blasphemers are to be stoned to death. Leviticus chapter 24 verse 16. And whoever blasphemes the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall certainly stone him, the stranger as well as him who is born in the land. When he blasphemes the name of the Lord, he shall be put to death. Alright. We've studied Revelation 14, 15, 16. And we see the encouragement that these verses give to us. And also especially to those who are going through suffering. Many in our own nation today are suffering because of their faith. Many are put in jail. Many have been killed. Recently we saw the evangelist who was killed in Hyderabad. Now, Andhra is a place where the gospel has been preached so much. Bhakt Singh's ministry was all in Andhra Pradesh. Most of the ministry was Andhra Pradesh. You go anywhere in any nook and corner, Andhra Pradesh, you go to the villages, you will find Bhakt Singh Assembly. Bhakt Singh Assembly. So much of work has gone on in Andhra. And now you have a martyr. Remember, God will judge. Those who shed the blood of His servants, God's people, God will definitely judge. Revelation 14 verses 1 to 5. You see, the sealed 144,000, they will arrive on Mount Zion and they will praise God. Then I looked and behold a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with Him 144,000 having His Father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven like the voice of many waters, and like voice of loud thunder, and I heard the sound of harpists playing their harps. They sang as it were a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. These are the ones who are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and the Lamb, and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no deceit, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Then we see the martyrs. They will also be in glory. What will they be doing? They will be praising God. Revelation 15 verse 1 to 4. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues. For in them the wrath of God is complete. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, over his image and over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested. So what is John's message here? What is the Lord Jesus conveying to us through the Apostle John? Revelation 14, chapter 15, chapter 16. What is the message? The message is this. This is the message. It is possible to be victorious over the beast and to be an overcomer. Alright? It's possible now. It will be possible even for the tribulation saints. Movements of armies, confederation of nations, worldwide opposition to God, nothing can hinder the Lord from fulfilling his word. He is on the throne, he is achieving his purposes. Now men think that they are free, they can do what they feel like doing, they can do what they please, but in reality they are only accomplishing the plans and purposes of God. Because God is on the throne, he holds the keys. He holds the keys. Every generation of Christians has been able to identify with the events that we just studied in Revelation 14, 15 and 16. Remember, there has always been a beast. There has always been a beast that oppresses God's people. There has always been a false prophet to lead them astray. And we have always been on the verge of an Armageddon. As the nations wage war. Even now they're talking about World War, what? Four or five? Three. No? Three. You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. They'll continue. But what will happen in the last days? In the last days, these events are going to accelerate. And we already begin to seeing them accelerate. It will accelerate, and the Bible prophecies will be ultimately fulfilled. You see, one of the beautiful things that are happening in our church, and this morning that Jew mentioned it to me. He told me this. He said, amazing to see these little children. This is what he said. They're so full of life. You know, when you see a 4-year-old worshipping God with language that even adults don't, you know, even mature believers are unable to utter at the age of 4. Naturally, whether you're Jew or un-Jew, you will be shocked. How can this little boy speak to God like this? So Bible prophecy is being fulfilled right in front of our eyes. It's happening. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. They dream dreams also. So in these last days, what will actually happen is it will accelerate, all of this will accelerate, and Bible prophecies will be ultimately fulfilled. I believe personally the church will not be on the scene at this time. I don't want to be there also. But both Jewish and Gentile believers will be living. Right? They will be living. And God will still give them opportunity. My Jewish friend who came this morning, I don't know whether he will be raptured or not. If the rapture takes place today, definitely he will not be raptured because he doesn't believe. But he has heard the gospel. So he will go through tribulation. God forbid. God forbid. So the worst thing that can happen to a person is to go through tribulation. Alright. And during that time, what will happen is, he will remember what he has heard before. These children who are witness to him will speak to him. The Bible that he holds in his hand will speak to him. He would have heard of the rapture. I've already told him. I remember 20 years ago spoke to him. Jesus is coming soon. He is coming to take people who believe in him. You will be left behind if you don't believe. God forbid. God forbid. I am praying as soon as possible all of us will be raptured. We'll go. We don't know. Can happen. That's the next event on God's calendar, is the rapture of the church. That's the next event on God's calendar. And once that takes place, all of this will begin. All of this will begin. These judgments will begin. Right from chapter 6 to chapter 19, all these judgments will unfold. One after the other, they'll unfold. So what must you do now? You see, the admonition in Revelation 16 verse 15 applies to everyone. Revelation 16 verse 15. Behold, I. Who's the I? Jesus. I'm coming as a thief. That's what he says. I'm coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. So a person cannot say, I'm a believer and I live in sin. Alright? He says, you keep your garments. If you're a believer, set your life apart. Be clean. If you're a believer, set your life apart. Be sanctified. If you claim to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, obey me wholeheartedly. That's what Jesus is saying. That's what he's saying. Lest you walk naked and they see you shame. So Jesus Christ may return at any time. And it is our great responsibility to keep our lives clean, to be watchful, and to be faithful. To be faithful. Come, Lord Jesus. Shall we pray? Reuben, you lead us in prayer.
Lord Jesus, we thank you for the word you have spoken to us, O Lord. Thank you for being beyond the work of the Lord for us. Thank you for this thing which has really belonged to us and our children forever. And thank you for revealing this mysteries which are not to be. Thank you for this prayer, Lord, and how.